This is not Brother Joel McCoy. Amen. This is Brother Nathan McCoy. And Brother Joel McCoy called me. You know, he's pastored a church now in the Houston area. And a great church there. We were privileged to preach for him a few weeks ago. And he called me. He said, I cannot be there Sunday. He said, I've had several things come. I've got to be at home Sunday. And I understand that. And he's going to be here Tuesday night. We are going to have revival this week. He'll be preaching for us Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be preaching today, but we are so delighted to have Brother Nathan McCoy preaching and ministering in morning manna today. Amen. So thank the Lord for that. So he and his family, Sister Faith, and their two kids are with us today, and we're just glad to have him in Springfield. Brother Nathan McCoy, he is a unique individual and always been so special and very kind to me, and I've enjoyed, you know, you kind of have those cousins that, well, they might be your favorite, but you don't tell everybody, you know. And so hopefully, now this is going to be on Facebook and all over there. They're all my favorites, but amen. Brother Nathan McCoy is a minister. My uncle, Daryl McCoy, pastors there in Port Arthur, Texas, and told me just the other day, he said, Nathan is such a blessing to me. And he said, he's my, I think he called you his executive pastor and working with a lot of their administration for the church. Brother Nathan McCoy is also, he is a underwater, well, he's a diver and welder that works on ships and offshore rigs and all of that. So I'd kind of like to hear some stories. I don't know, he might have some of those for us today, but he's also a great minister of the gospel, and we're thankful for having him here today. Would you just thank the Lord for his spirit in this house, and let's worship the Lord one more time as Brother Nathan McCoy comes. Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't God good? God good? Let's just praise him just for a minute. Lord, we love you. There's none like you. There is none like you, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done already, what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm about as shocked as y'all are. I wanted to hear someone else speak today, too. I got to drive 10 hours to hear my own brother preach, but I know it's worth it. Be here. Don't miss Tuesday and Wednesday. He's amazing. But I believe God's got something for someone today, and really, I don't really put it all on me. I think I could get up here and preach about red beans and rice. And if your heart's in the right place and God knows where you're at, he knows who you are, God's going to let you leave here with what you need. He's not going to let you leave empty-handed today. But I want to go to Matthew 7 and 21. I do want to give honor to your pastor and your pastor's family. You are so blessed. I do run into them time to time when I do see them around general conference or because of the times or minister's conference or somewhere in Texas. And I'm telling you, when they leave here, they don't take their hair down and get all crazy. What you see here is what you get. They're genuine. They're the real thing. They're the real deal, the real McCoy. Amen. And I think you are so blessed to have such great people, such a great pastor, pastor's wife, pastor's family. They are amazing. And it's one thing to say they're great people, but when you can claim them as family, you know what I mean? There's some people, hey, aren't you related? No. That's a different McCoy. That's M-C-C-O-I, not O-Y. They're different. No, y'all got the same grandparents. Oh, distant. But not these people. These are great people, great family. And they are wonderful. Matthew 7, verse 21, going to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You can be seated. For just a few minutes here, and when I say a few minutes, I mean just a few minutes here, I want to talk about being known by God. we have Jesus. He's here telling a group of people. He's saying, you know, y'all do think there's going to be a people in the last days. They're going to do things in my name. They're going to use me. They're going to say it's in my name, but not all of them are going to make it. They're going to think they're going to make it. They're going to get up there and say, well, God, yeah, it's Bob Jones. I'm in your book. I know I'm in there. I know you did this, and I did it in your name. I used Jesus' name. I used all the right formulas. I did everything you wanted me to do on paper. But when he looked, he said, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. You used me, but I don't know who you are. It's a sad fact that a lot of people aren't going to make it. A lot of good people probably aren't going to make it. But it's a fact. It's not something that I've made up. This has come from, you look in there, it's red letters. Jesus was saying this. There are people that they thought they were in. They thought that they had made it. I mean, they saw the devils cast out. They saw all the miracles performed. They saw good things happen. I mean, amazing things. These were people, they knew how to have church. They were having better church than a lot of Pentecostal churches have. I mean, they saw some amazing things. They used Jesus' name. Amen? But when you look in their walk with God, if you look a little closer, I think we got a major issue. They wanted Jesus in their tough times. That wasn't an issue. They wanted Jesus in their job. They wanted Jesus when those tough situations arose. They wanted Jesus in their day-to-day, you know, in their life. They wanted him. They wanted the blessings of Jesus. But they wanted to know who Jesus was and not let Jesus know who they were. Here they're seeing the signs of Christ. They want to get to know Jesus. And, you know, God's working in their life. He's doing things. Because when you get in the presence of the Almighty, things are going to happen. It's not just that you've got everything going on. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves everyone. When he died on the cross, it wasn't just for me and you. It wasn't just for the ones who say, oh, God, here, take my life. God died. He died with the intentions of saving every single person. Calvary was just not for me and you. So when we see the goodness of God, a lot of us are like, oh, we've got it together. I'm walking in his way. Boy, he's got his hand on me. It doesn't mean he's got his hand on you. It doesn't mean he knows who you are. That's just how great God is. Amen. He loves us. And when you get in the presence of the Almighty, you're going to feel something a little different. You're going to see some things that you're not used to seeing. But it doesn't mean that he knows you. It doesn't mean that you're where you need to be. God lets us get to know him. He wants to be in our lives. He says, you know what? I know old Johnny doesn't know me. He's too sick. He keeps telling Pastor, I'm too sick to make it this week, but you'll see me next week. I'm too sick this week. You'll see me next time. God says, you know what? I don't know who he is that well, but his pastor's praying for him. Gabriel, let's go ahead and heal him. Let's go ahead and take away that sickness. And boy, old Johnny gets better. But then he's got something else going on. He said, well, I've got to go over here this week. I got to work long this week. I got to do this and do that. There's another one that the pastor's praying for your finances, and we're blessed with good jobs and got everything going right for us. And boy, you start going to church and everything's going good. And boy, that missions offering comes up, or that special need comes up. Amen. It always does. But we don't see a way to do it. Our wife is nudging us. Hey, baby, look, God has blessed us. We can do this. Baby, hold on now. We got that new truck note. We can't afford, I mean, we don't want to lose our new truck. We just got it yesterday. We got this job has to pay for that. We can't afford to do this and do that. And God said, come on, I gave it to you. I wanted to know you. I'm reaching out to you. He's saying, you know what? There's a lot of people in Springfield that don't know who I am. I'm going to reach down there and I'm going to stir up some spirits. I'm going to stir up some hearts to serve me. I'm looking to grow a church there. I'm looking to add to the church. But where are we when pastor says, hey, you know what? We're going to do a revival service this week. We want to bring visitors. Reach out to your neighbors. Go visit somebody. Go door knocking. Go do something. Well, we got that good job and I got to go do something else this week. Because we're a busy people. I know that. But we've got to make time to let God know who we are. There's so much more to knowing God. There's so much more than just letting Him know us. He requires us to open up to Him. He requires some conversation. He requires some alone time with you. There's some times when He just wants to get to know you. That's called a relationship. It may take a little more time in prayer. It may take a little longer time at the church. It may take some time at the altar for us. It may take some time witnessing, telling someone about Jesus and how great your God is. Amen? But the fact is, that's how He gets to know who we are. For good or for bad, I'm not a politic up here, but I'm sure pretty much everyone in this building knows who Donald Trump is. Everyone knows who Barack Obama is. But I can guarantee you, if you were able to reach them today and say, hey, you know Nathan McCoy? Nathan who? They don't know me. They don't know who I am. I know them very well because their reputation precedes them, but they don't have a clue who I am. Let me tell you something. There's some people that know Jesus' name. There's some people that know about Calvary. They may not know the truth that me and you know today, but they know what Jesus has done. They know what Jesus is about. Amen? But some of them, Jesus, they've never reached out to Jesus. Jesus doesn't know who they are. He knows they exist. He knows your name, but He doesn't know you. He doesn't know their hearts. There is such a thing as one-sided relationships. A lot of us know about one-sided relationships. You know, girls, that guy that's Mr. Right, Mr. Perfect, and he don't know you exist? That's a one-sided relationship. Guys, you found that perfect woman, the one, she's the one you want to spend the rest of your life with, but she don't know you exist? That's a one-sided relationship. You can still work on it. It's not over today. Don't cry. It's okay. For y'all that are past the dating age, you know that neighbor, the one that loves to talk to you. I mean, you pull up from the grocery store, and he's making a beeline to tell you what three houses down did today. Oh, Bob is coming your way. Don't worry. He's going to fill you in, and you're like, oh, God, I got to get inside. I can't say it. That's a one-sided relationship. If you want a friendship to work, it's got to be both ways. You have to be at least a bit interested in what's going on in their life. God wants to know what's going on in our life, but if we're making a beeline for this and a beeline for that, trying to get away from Him when He's reaching to us at an altar, maybe that's a one-sided relationship. It ain't going to work because He's got to get to know us. Even from the very beginning, that's all God wanted. He wanted to have a relationship. He walked and talked in a garden with Adam and Eve. He loved them. They were having a good time until Adam and Eve let sin sever a relationship. God came up. He said, Adam, where are you at? You're not where I'm used to seeing you at. You're not in the altar where you normally are. Well, Adam, what are you wearing? I didn't give you that. You're surrounding yourself with some things that I don't recognize. I may not approve of some of this. You didn't check with me, Adam. You see, when we're with God, when we're checking in with God, we know what He wants for our lives. We're sitting here saying, God, what do You want from us? My goodness, I just don't know what God wants for my future. I just don't know where God wants me to be. It's because we don't have a relationship with God. It's because He doesn't know us in the sense where He can tell you, hey, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to be. Let me work in your life. Let me change some things. Let me help you out a little bit. To make it in His kingdom, we have to allow Him to get to know us. And once we know each other and we've got that great relationship, it still ain't enough. There is still more. In Matthew 25 and 14, he says, he's telling a parable here. He's, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We all know this story well. I'm not preaching on the parable itself, but just the reference that Jesus made. At the end, if you skip on down to verse 21, he said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lost my spot here. Here we go. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, you know, this could be just a parable. Jesus may have just snatched this right out of thin air, just saying, hey, you know what, I need a good analogy. He might have done that. It may mean nothing. I understand that. But we are talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth here. We're talking about the God who created the visible and the invisible, the tangible and intangible. We're talking about the God who created everything from the largest mountain to the smallest microscopic atom. I find it hard to believe he's just going to throw something out there without purpose. I find it hard to believe that he's not trying to tell us something, saying, hey, you know what? You can make it in, but you've got to have a servant's heart. I want to know you, but when I get to know you, I want a servant to be there with me. I don't want just any servant. It's got to be a certain kind of servant. You've got to have some certain characteristics. I want a servant that is good. I want a servant that is faithful, one that won't leave me. You know, we've all heard the quote by John F. Kennedy. Don't ask what you can do, what your country can do for you. We should be asking what we can do for our country. That's how we should be in church. Some of us just want, gimme, gimme, gimme. God, we do. We feel like we're walking in God's ways. But when are we going to stop and say, God, I appreciate the things you do for me. I'm not asking for you to do anything for me today. Today I'm asking, what can I do for you? God, what can I do for your kingdom? Where can I be of service? Pastor, where I feel like I need to do something for the kingdom of God. Pastor, where do you need me? Where do you feel? Can you pray? Where can you pray to God? Ask him to show you where I need to be. I want to be involved in the kingdom of God. Amen? It's not for just one person. That's for everybody. So a good servant and a faithful servant. We may not be perfect. I think God knows we're not a perfect people. That's why he died on a cross for us. That's why he gave everything to save you and me, to save you and I today. He knows we're not going to be perfect, but if we can be faithful to the end, if we can just set aside things, constantly get up. When something knocks us down, you know what? I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving towards him. I'm going to keep knowing him and letting him know me. There's some things I'm going to do in life. There's some things I'm going to do for God. And we can be faithful. Now, this relationship that we're talking about, it's not the typical relationship. The relationship that we're used to is give and take. This is no give and take relationship. The relationship that we're used to is agree and agree to disagree. We're saying, okay, baby, yeah, you're right. And then go and do your own thing. And say, okay, well, let's sit down and hash this out. We can find common interests. We can find some common ground. I got to prove to my wife that I am the one that's right. I got to prove to her that I'm the man of the house and I know what's going on here. Am I the only one? Okay, don't raise your hands on that. I'm stepping out on a limb. But that's not the relationship that we're going to have when we're dealing with Jesus. It's not a contract saying, look, God, if you'll do this, I'm going to step out. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do this. But God, you've got to meet some demands. Let's sit down and talk this over. Let's see where we can meet at. That's not going to work. Jesus said, look, I want you to serve me. He already loves you, but there's some things that I want from you. I'm not negotiable. I'm not negotiating my standards. I'm not negotiating my truth. I'm not going to take back what I want. I'm not changing the word to fit your schedule. Amen? He said, you know what? I've got some terms. You need to serve me. I want you to serve me. Serve me well and serve me faithfully. And I want you to know me. And I want to know you. Remember that God is also a jealous God. He's not going to share you. He's not going to let you bring the things that you used to have in the world and put it in your back pocket and walk around with it. He's not going to call up old Satan and say, look, I just want them on Saturday and Sunday. You can have them Monday through Friday. Let them repent on Saturday and I got them on. That's not the God that we serve. God said, look, I'm going to be your God or I'm not going to be your God. You're either going to serve me or you're not going to serve me. That's the way our relationship is going to roll today, because you're going to go by my rules. You're going to follow me, because when you got God on your side, you don't want anything else. You don't want to bring all that other junk that we used to have, bring it in here with you. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the relationship that he wants to have for us this morning. Amen? Just what kind of God do we expect him to be? He's already going to give you life, life more abundantly, quality of life. He gives us joy. He gives us happiness. And, you know, we can stop right there and say, you know what? Who do we think we are to say, what am I going to get out of this relationship? It ain't about us. God is God no matter what I think. God is God no matter if I love him or not. He is giving me an opportunity to be with him. I'm pretty appreciative of that. He doesn't owe me nothing. But that's what makes God so amazing. He loves us. He's got a heart. You know, talking about Brother Joel, he probably won't use this. I don't know. I'm sure he remembers it. But Brother, I guess Pastor McCoy, I don't know. I go to Joel's church. Brother Joel's church, I have to say Pastor McCoy. I'm at home, I got to say Pastor McCoy. I go visit somewhere else, I say Pastor McCoy. Everybody's Pastor McCoy around here. But we were talking yesterday, and our dads have some really close similarities. One thing is they love working at nighttime. Just the other night, Uncle Randall called me. He said, I was in Zavala, where a little ranch we work at is at. He called and said, if you can come over, I want to go get that dozer. It was 9 o'clock at night. I know that because we sat at a seafood restaurant until 9 o'clock when they closed, and we had to leave. And then he said, if you can bring me down here to this dozer, I need to clear a track of land over here. I'm thinking, it's 9 o'clock. It's dark. That dozer don't even have lights. And I told him, Uncle Randall, I don't think that dozer has lights. He said, I've got a flashlight. I'm telling you, they love to work at night. His dad and my dad, they both love it. And so several years ago, Joel and I were at a camp. And at a camp, you're not supposed to work. You're supposed to do fun work. You're supposed to do enjoyable stuff. Not with our dads. That's not true. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. But it's about 10 o'clock. And dad just up and decided, he said, you know what, boys? I want to cut a trail. You know that part of the woods? I want to cut a trail. Let's go down there and cut a trail. Thinking, no, let's play Rook. Let's drink hot chocolate. It's cold outside. You know, let's just chill. We're here for fun, not work. He said, but you don't tell Dad no. You don't tell him no. You can't. It's a mistake. You don't do it. You don't do it. Take my word for it. Don't do it. And so me and Joel said, okay, we'll take the four-wheeler. Dad's on the tractor, and we're cutting this trail. Where we're going is about 3 miles into the woods. And it's cold. It's dark. The only lights are on the tractor and the four-wheeler. And according to Dad, everything's just, it's just going to be a few minutes. It's just going to be a little bit. Don't worry about it. You don't need a gun. You don't need a knife. We're just going to be a few minutes. We'll be right back. It's not true. It's not true. Don't fall for it. If he comes here and asks you to work at night, don't do it. Just good luck. So we get out here in the middle of the woods. And he gets to a place. He said, you know, boys, I can't see where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. Let's stop the mower. Let's stop mowing. We're going to keep driving this way, but I don't want to make a trail where I don't need a trail. Okay, well, that sounds good. If it was daytime, now we wouldn't have this problem, but I'm not going to say that. You know, don't listen to me. That's a horrible idea. And so we keep going. And sure enough, this tractor ends up in a creek. We didn't know where this creek was because it was about 11:30 by now. It was dark. We didn't have enough light to see where the creek was. So this tractor ends up in a ditch. And we are stuck. It wasn't going nowhere. So Dad says, look, boys, it's okay. I'll take the four-wheeler. I'll go get a truck. I'll go get a chain and some come-alongs, and we'll be all right. Y'all stay here with the tractor. That's a good idea. I'll stay here with the tractor in the middle of the woods. But I've got Joel with me. We're going to be okay. And so Dad takes off. And me and Joel get some great bonding time. I mean, if you have a brother, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all are stuck in the woods, and it's cold. And so, you know, naturally, we start at the tractor, and we're huddled around the exhaust pipe of the tractor because that's how we're staying warm. It's dark outside, but we got the lights on, so we're okay. We can see a little bit. Well, an hour goes by, no Dad. 2 hours goes by, no Dad. And the thing is, if you're a normal family, you realize, wow, this is a big deal. It's 2 hours. But in my family, 2 hours ain't nothing. Don't worry. It'll be all right. Dad just probably stopped to see something. Don't worry about it. He's going to be here eventually. 2 hours wasn't a big deal. But the thing is, after about 2 hours, that tractor runs out of diesel, and we lost our source of heat. It was getting cold now. We don't want to be out here cold and in the dark, but it's okay because we still got some lights. We can still see a little bit. But about another hour, we ain't got no lights. That battery is dead. We are out of diesel. We are out of battery. It don't matter if they come with the chain because we ain't going nowhere. We're stuck. We don't have a clue. So now me and Joel are sitting there. We're like, well, we ain't got a gun. We ain't got a knife. We ain't got a flashlight. We don't have a tractor. We don't have nothing. And we don't have a dad right now. He's gone. We don't know where anybody is. All we know is we're 3 miles in the middle of the woods, and we're stuck. Now, I'm going to make the story, the story is so much better, but I'm going to end it there because, you know what, Joel, we ended up getting out. We were not that happy after we left, but we did get everything taken care of. But you know what, Joel McCoy is the first person that I'd rather go into the woods with today because he doesn't go unprepared. When he goes in the woods, he's got a big old backpack he brings now, and he ain't bringing just one water. That boy will have about 3 or 4 waters. He'll have some candy bars. He'll have a gun. He'll have an extra gun. He'll have a knife and an extra knife. Hey, Joel, give me one of those waters. Give me a candy bar. Nope, that's for later. It just in case. Let me tell you something. When you are with him, he's prepared. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and Jesus knows who we are and we're his servant, he knows, hey, that is my personal servant. I know him by name. He is mine. Don't mess with him. Hey, you're with someone that's well-prepared for any situation. Don't worry about what it's going to be like. Don't worry about the cost of the relationship because, honey, God's going to be there when you need him. When that enemy rises up against you, God's got what it takes. He's got enough to go around. He's not short-handed today. God knows where you're at because he knows your heart. He knows who you are. And when that enemy tries to throw something at you, God knows because he knows you. He's hearing your prayers. God, you know, I'm having troubles with this. It's okay. I got it taken care of. You're mine. Ain't nobody going to mess with my own. I'm not going to let that happen. God's not going to let that happen to you. And where's Josh at? I'm going to throw it in here somewhere. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. I'm sorry, Josh. He knew it was coming. I told him I was going to tell on him all week, and I was bluffing up until right now, but I see I got a little extra time, so we're going to throw it in here. We're going to make it work. In his defense, he is a great guy. He helps me out a whole lot, just not on some days, but he usually is a lot of help to me. This story may slightly be inflated for the purpose of payback. So the other night, we're trying to get things ready. Me and Faith, we got a lot to do. We were trying to get up here 2 days ago, but, you know, life happens, and it's just tough to get away. And so my wife called me. She said, the car's broke down. Well, I'm broke down in Beaumont. It's about 15 minutes from us. So, like, okay, well, don't worry. I'll go get I know Dad's got a car hauler trailer. I'll go to his house. I'll borrow his trailer, and we'll just come pick it up. Don't worry. Leave it where it is. Get your mom to pick you up. So Josh had called me earlier that day. He said, well, if you help me do some things to get out of town, I'll help you do some things to get out of town. Well, that works great right about now because I need some help. So I called Josh and said, hey, why don't you meet me at Dad's house? We got something to do, and then we'll go do your things. So sure enough, we go and pick up this car hauler trailer. We go to get my wife's vehicle. And when we get there, there's already a vehicle on the trailer. It's a truck that's already broke down. And Dad said, well, look, I'll let y'all use my trailer. All you got to do is before y'all bring the truck back, if you would, this truck is really dirty. If you could go wash it off before I bring it to the shop tomorrow, because I don't want that mechanic thinking I don't take care of my vehicles. So y'all go wash it up, clean it up, and Josh, if you could load it on there. He said, yes, Pastor, I'll do that. He said, yes, Pastor, I'll do that. You know, one thing after another, we get to Beaumont. It was more difficult bringing the vehicle, and then we got a truck and trailer stuck because it's been raining down there. It was a nightmare. I understood it took a little longer. So out of the kindness of my heart, I said, Josh, you know what? It's been a long day. I've helped you with your stuff. We did go take care of his things. I said, look, how about I go wash the truck and you stay at home? I got you. Go ahead and go home. He said, well, if you break down, you just give me a call. I said, oh, I'll do that. I will do that. So I'm going to the car wash, and I'm washing this vehicle. I finish washing it, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go home now. I wasn't going nowhere. That truck was broke down. It's late at night now. It's probably 9:30, close to 10 o'clock. I guess I take after my dad when I have to. And so it's all right because I've got backup. We had worked through lunch that day. I didn't even care that the truck was broke down. I was so hungry. I called Josh. I said, "Hey, Josh, you won't believe this. The truck is broke down. Come pick me up. Bring me to Taco Bell. Let's go get something to eat. I'm hungry." You know what he told me? You know what you told me. He knows what he told me. He said, "Do I have to?" And I got to thinking, well, no, I guess not. I can't make you. You don't have to. He's like, "All right, well, I'll see you tomorrow." I said, "Okay. All right, well," he's joking. "He'll be here. I know Josh. He's on the way. He'll be here in a little bit." And another 45 minutes goes. I still can't get the truck cranked. I'm trying. So about an hour, I'm calling Josh. I'm like, "Hey, where you at?" "Oh, I'm at home." "Man, come pick me up. Bring me to Taco Bell. Josh, I'm so hungry. Come on, I haven't eaten all day." "Do I have to?" I said, "Well, nothing's changed. I guess you don't have to. No, I can't make you. I'm broke down in the middle of the night. You know, it's about midnight now. I'm tired. I'm hungry, but I can't make you." "All right, I'll see you tomorrow." Okay. I know. I think, okay, he's coming. He's on his way. He's pulling my leg big time now. He's on his way. He wasn't on his way. He didn't rescue me. About another hour. It's about 1:30 now. I'm still at the same car wash. I'm a big dummy for trusting somebody, you know? I love him. I do love him. I brought him with me all the way here. I do love him. But I knew by then, Josh Williams was not coming. I had no one coming to my rescue. So I thought, okay, well, there's only one more person I can call. I hate to bother Dad, but he's gonna love this at 1:30. This is right down his alley. He's going to enjoy this. Would you believe it? I called Dad, answered on the first ring. "Hey, how's it coming?" I said, "Well, I'm broke down in your truck at a car wash." "Well, how long you been there? It's late." I said, "Well, I've been here about close to 3 hours." "Well, you should have called me 3 hours ago. I'd have come 3 hours ago." Like, you know, I could have figured that. I should have called him 3 hours ago. You know, within 10 minutes, he got there. I told him the battery was dead. He had jumper cables. He pulled up to the front of the truck, popped the hoods. We got that truck started. He said, "In Jesus' name, that truck started." No problems. I've been sitting there trying to start the truck for 3 hours. He gets there, truck starts. Let me tell you something. When God knows you, when he shows up for his servant, he doesn't come unprepared. He knows who you are, and there is no enemy that can stand up to your God. We serve an amazing God, don't we? Amen. Let's stand. I do hope this helps somebody today. All I can say is don't leave here without letting God know who you are. I want God to know me personally. I want him to know, hey, that's my servant down there. I'm not going to let anything come between our relationship. I'm not going to let sickness, finances, I'm not going to let bad relationships, I'm not going to let anything come between the love that I have for him. He's tapped into me, and you know what? I'm not going to let him down because I know his name. And he's going to sit there and he's going to write your name in his book. And when you get up there, you're not going to have to worry about, am I there? Got it. Am I going to make it? He'll let you know in this life, hey, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm not going to leave you stranded because I know who you are. You're not a stranger to me. I know your name. I know your heart. I know where you're at. He is such a great God. And as your pastor comes, I wonder if we could just lift our hands and say, God, I want to know you more, but I want you to know me. I want you to know where I'm at. I want you to have me as your servant. I want to be a good servant, and I want to be faithful.